You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Travel stuff with the United States Air Force, so with apologies, I'm late. The you want to hear some cool stuff? I know you do, so it's a rhetorical question. Cool stuff. How many visitor hits do you think All Marine Radio website has in 3+ years? 12.6 million visitor hits. Boo! What happened? Yeah. How crazy is that? That is awesome. So, yeah. I don't probably do it as often as I can. I don't pull down these statistics because I think they can drive you crazy after a while. I think if you just do good work and you keep doing it and you keep doing it and you keep doing it, then ultimately, you know, it takes care of itself. So that's what I do. I try not to obsess over. I try not to obsess over, the data that goes to websites and things like that, because it will literally drive you crazy. Yeah, 1.2 million MP3 downloads. How about that? That's not bad. That'll work. So, anyway, pretty cool stuff. Good morning to you here on Tuesday morning. Grant Newsham's going to join us. We're going to talk about Hong Kong today. We're talking about Hong Kong, a little bit about China. As people who listen to the program know, I'm curious about China, and I left the window open. So hold on. I know, unprofessional, I know. I never said I was a professional. To me, China is interesting because what we're seeking China to do undermines their entire system. Their system is built on a fraud, right? So it's a totalitarian government with a huge population. They have stolen all the technology that has fueled the development of their military. They've stolen from us. Yeah. Yep. And the ruse is, you know, that the that we'll give you access to our economy, but you have to give us your technology. I mean, that's the Chinese way. And if you don't, then you can't participate in all the profits that we will generate here. And so that's the blackmail game. Now, what's interesting about, you know, the Trump administration, as Grant Newsom, who will come on here in a little bit, has talked about, is, you know, the first American administration to, like, stand up and look at China and they say, sorry, not having it. Except, and here's the problem. What we're asking the Chinese to do, as I said, undermines their whole system, right? Remember, it's a totalitarian communist regime. No matter how much they trot out happy people, at the end of the day, right, in order to sustain that system, you have to repress the freedom of, you know, a billion people, more than a billion people, in order to make that work. All right, so having said that, stopping, right, the theft of intellectual property, okay, competing on an equal playing field, that all undermines what the Chinese have done and the con game that they run on the rest of the world. But nobody, it's the emperor's new clothes. Nobody can say anything because China will cut you off from their economy. And nobody wants that. No politician who needs to be reelected wants that. So So anyway, we'll talk about that today. And now, the other thing we'll talk about is Hong Kong. Hong Kong, the activists there have obviously seen the encroachment, right? That mainland China, as it was once known, into the life that the people of Hong Kong have known. You know, most of them under British rule, but it's been a while since that happened. So now under Chinese rule. And the Chinese way is just a slow, kind of the boa constrictor way of killing something. Right? Slow, consistent, increasing pressure that ultimately chokes everybody. But the Chinese, activists, right, are looking for a showdown. They're looking for a showdown, evidently, which tends not normally to work out right. And what they're leveraging is world opinion, the Chinese economic crisis that they have going on. It's not like China's not hurting economically with this trade war with the United States. And so leveraging where China is and the fact that they probably don't want to, you know, have the nations of the world stand up and say, hey, we believe that, you know, we should rail back or rein in the business we do with you because of the way your human rights violations. Hell, the UN even came out today and made a statement about it. So it's interesting. But the things we're asking China to do, it can't do. If it does, I mean, it destroys its own system. And they ain't going there, I'll tell you that right now. So it's interesting. So how does it play out? How does it, you know, how does it work at the end of the day? How does it work? You know, what would the Trump administration accept? But, I mean, to me, among civilized nations, right, they ought to stop stealing technology. I mean, the forced transfer of technology as a way of doing business. They ought to have to stop that. And the free nations of the world should get together and tell them that. So it'll be interesting. So, and then Hong Kong in the middle of this. So we'll talk about that today. Somebody sent me an email overnight talking about, isolation. And they made a comment like, hey, Mac, I've heard some of the things you said. I was talking to somebody, yada, yada, yada. And I've had to consider, like, how do I put post-traumatic winning? For instance, as the show started this morning, guys from the Air Force called me and said, hey, we got to fly you out here. And we got to do this. We got to do that. I said, okay. So, so as I've had to kind of distill it, post-traumatic winning, into a thumbnail sketch, what is it? It's a peer-to-peer program, not designed to supplant anybody else's program, designed to augment. Okay, so it's military peer-to-peer, veteran peer-to-peer, and then it's us to anybody, which is an important part. It takes on two huge problems. One is ignorance, in that we just don't, most of us don't know shit about living with trauma. It's not something that, you know, it's not a class you take in college. Maybe it should be, though. Whoa, there's another line of business. so it's not a class you take in college. And the people that go through it tend not to share, right? They tend not to share the hard lessons that you learn as you learn these lessons. So when I say ignorance, it's not like I'm talking about willful ignorance, right? I'm talking about, you know, I just don't know, right? I just don't know. So talk about that. And then the second problem is the isolation problem. That if you don't isolate, if you're willing to talk about your problems, you can get through anything, right? You can get through anything. And I believe that. I believe that as long as somebody will sit down and talk with somebody else, as long as they'll, and then I think, this is kind of interesting, I listened to a book called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck, okay? And I thought the title was humorous, but I was kind of curious to what the guy had to say. And, you know, we, by telling everybody they're special, and that you're so unique, you're a snowflake, there's nobody else like you in the world, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think we tend to fuel this thought that my problems, if I'm unique, therefore my problems must be unique, and nobody else has my problems, and so nobody else could understand me. When in fact, that's like completely false. There's millions of other people that have the same problem that you have. And most of them deal with it. And so, you and your problems aren't unique. And it's good that you comprehend that fact. It's good that you comprehend that fact, because if this problem is pretty common, right, as much as it's rocked my world, then maybe I can learn from other people. And I think that's a huge thing, because the people you meet who won't talk about their problems will constantly give you the, you don't understand, or you couldn't possibly understand what I'm going through. Oh, yeah? What if I understand worse than what you're going through? Huh? Exactly. What if I understand worse than what you're going through? So, anyway, been kind of interesting as I've kind of tried to distill, right, post-traumatic winning into a nutshell and into a thumbnail. And the things that come out, and the importance of those two things, educating yourself and talking about your shit. Those two twin towers address the two problems of ignorance and isolation, which to me gets you down the trail of destructive behavior, whatever manifestation that takes. So anyway, thought I'd share that with you this morning. Big news, my nephew, Johnny Wags, as opposed to my other nephew, Ott, I have a nephew that's at the basic school. He's headed to the infantry officer course. Yeah, going to get his man card, so I was fired up about that yesterday. He called me and goes, "Hey, Uncle Michael, what's up?" And I'm like, "Nothing." And I know it's MOS time for him. Like, I'm like, "What do you want?" And he said, "I'm an 0102, which is an admin officer." And I went silent, because the Marine Corps will do this thing called the quality spread, which is they take, you know, some officers and they don't get their first or second choice. You know, they get a different choice. And it's the Marine Corps' effort to level out the talent pool across the Marine Corps. It makes nobody happy, trust me. It makes nobody happy. And so I thought, oh hell, man! He got the quality. He's the quality spread. And so I was like stunned. I was speechless. And he says, I'm joking. I'm like, oh, you thought that was funny? You thought that was funny? And he said, yeah, because it doesn't apply to me. I said, oh, yeah, well, that isn't funny. So, anyway, he was fired up, which I was fired up, right? Going to get his man card, going to be a grunt. So then I called my cousin, his mom, who was rightfully nervous. I said, don't be nervous. Her other son's a cop. I said, be nervous of the cop, right? The lieutenant, he's all right. He's all right. So congratulations to my nephew, Johnny Wags, going to go get his man card. So that's pretty motivating. Anyway, on a Wednesday, programming note. Some cool stuff coming up. One, tomorrow, there's a doctor, and she did a study on veterans and sleep. Exactly. What? Yeah, sleep. Something that a lot of veterans struggle with. So she's going to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about her study, what she found. Can she help us sleep better? And I actually only woke up, like, I think twice last night, which is a miracle for me. So I was pretty excited about it. And, yeah, this morning I woke up and I was like, whoa, I just slept for like 4 straight hours. What's up with that? All right. And so, yeah, so we'll talk tomorrow. We're going to talk sleep, all right? And the doctor's name is Anne Germain. So Anne's going to join us. I saw something that got written about her in Stars and Stripes. And so you'll meet Anne tomorrow. So that'll be interesting. And then we'll do the Lynch and Kenny thing on Thursday, and then the chef on Friday. And then on Monday, Ron Reyes is going to join us. Now, Ron, if you've never heard the podcast that Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, first name Ron, if you've never heard that interview, listen to it. Ron was an infant when his father was killed in the vicinity of Quezon in 1968. And so he's never known his father. And I saw something written about him or online about him, that he was a Gold Star kid and he had never made a Father's Day card, and he got hooked up with this group of people that are Gold Star kids of the Vietnam War, and they get together on Father's Day in June in Washington, D.C. at the memorial. They're allowed to clean the memorial. They make Father's Day cards. And so he came on and tells this story. And the part of the story that Ron told me, a bunch of things stick in my head about it. One is, he tells a story that at his father's funeral, there was glass on top of the casket, and that he was an infant. And his mother laid him on top of the glass because that would be the closest he ever was to his father. And you hear that, and it takes your breath away. Right? And so, you know, he talks about growing up and, you know, never having a dad. And then he found Marines, I want to say from 1-9, that his dad was in 1-9. And so he went to a reunion. And they found out, like, they were like, hey, this is Ronnie Reyes' kid. And he describes their reaction to him. And he said they went nuts. He met, like, his dad's best friend, and these guys are now, he said, I've got all these fathers and uncles now, and he said, it's amazing. And I said, yeah, you're part of our tribe, man. You didn't know that, did you? He said, I didn't know that. He said, I knew my dad, you know, I knew my dad's story, but I didn't, the powerful connection I made. So he talks about that. Then he tells the story about going back, going to Vietnam, right? And so anyway, Ron just went to Vietnam again, but this time I think he wasn't part of a larger effort. He went on, you know, he was on his time doing it things his that he wanted to do his way. And so he's going to join us on Monday. And then hopefully sometime next week you'll hear an interview that I'll record with General Zinni about discipline in the On Discipline series. So so cool stuff coming up on All Marine Radio. And then next week I head out to the Air Force Academy, which I just got off the phone with those guys. So that's going to happen. So I'll speak there on the 21st. And then and then I come back and on Friday I'll head down to San Clemente and doing something off-site and doing something off-site with 2nd Battalion 5th Marines. And then the following week I head to Camp Lejeune and hopefully speak there to a few groups. So anyway, so post-traumatic winning, and again, the United States Army is going to come up and take a look at it too. So, pretty cool stuff. As Dave Furness once told me, you know, helping people is a really cool thing, maybe the coolest thing we've ever done, and a lot of cool things. So, and true dat. All right, the United States Marine Corps. Somebody sent me an email, Mac. Why do you play that thing every day? Because I like it. It makes this thing, the National Anthem, why do I play that every day? Really? Did you just say that to me? Okay. But that version of the Marine Hymn with all different quotes, I love that stuff, man. I love that stuff. And Gerald Mattis's quotes, they make me laugh every day. Jack Riley, one of my heroes, right? I mean, well, goodness, Mac. That's one word. When you speak Alabamese, it's two. Goodness, right? Well, goodness, Mac. But there's a dude, if you don't know anything about Jack Riley, go on the website and listen to the interviews with Jack Riley. Listen to every one of them, right? He was tracking down guys from Marines, writing letters, getting DOS disks of phone books from different states so he could track down Marines in his company to have reunion. He's held their hands when they died as Agent Orange ate the exterior of their lungs away, telling them that they would take care of their family. And so he's just a great guy. He's squad leader in Vietnam. Fought at the Battle of Gatlin's Corner. And that's how I met him. He listened to the interview I did with General Neil, and he wrote me a wonderful email, and I said, well, would you come on and talk about it? And he said, yeah. Hell yeah. Goodness, Mac. Of course I would. So he's just a wonderful guy. And I love listening to that audio every day. And now, I mean, you know, that newest quote that I put in there, and maybe I should trim it up a little bit, right? Or maybe I should have a couple versions of it so it's not so long. But I said, look, that makes me laugh. It makes me think. You know, Charles Krauthammer's quote, right, about the truth and being honest and blunt about it, to me is a constant reminder of the promise of this country, but how the promise is constantly corrupted by capitalism. And there's an inherent fight between the promise and capitalism and money. And that's what, in fact, at the root of the Chinese system is leveraging other people's greed. Their desire to make money off the 1.4 billion people in China will trump, no pun intended, any good judgment they have. Any good judgment they have. And they will sell their souls for that money and give us whatever we want. And that's what the Chinese do. So, anyhow. So, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Mm-hmm. down. Just dedicated to, my nephews have been monopolizing this, but just dedicated to Second Lieutenant John Wagstaff. Going to go get his man card at IOC. Don't screw it up there, stud muffin.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. See, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
The Mattis quote is awesome. Hell, the only reason I stuck around this low-paying outfit. Yeah, no, he's not very funny, but when he is, I mean, he's crafted it well, okay? No, he can be funny in his own very dry way. But if you're a subordinate, his humor, like, you don't really pick up right away. Was that a joke or was he being serious? Like, don't worry about it. Just get out of here. All right. Weather in Marineland. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 82. Camp Lejeune down the coast is mostly cloudy and 88. 29 Palms, sunny and 85. That's pretty normal. Pendleton, cloudy and 63. That's pretty normal. Hawaii, Camp Smith, dark, cloudy, 78. That's pretty normal. Okinawa, a little bit warmer than normal. Dark, cloudy, and 83 right now. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is partly cloudy and 111. But it's a dry 111. Don't forget about that. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where doubts about the peace process linger, dark, clear, and 96 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 68. Headed for 80 today. It is 62 with no report on visibility or sky conditions. It is sunny in Big Timber, Montana. So there you have it. Your weather all around the Marine Corps, and even some places that aren't very Marine-like. So there you have it. 62 up in God's country in Montana. If you've never been to Montana, first of all, Montana's huge. When I lived in North Dakota and I'd drive down here, you spend about a third of the trip in Montana. You drive east to southwest in Montana. That's a big state, man. That is a big state. And it's absolutely beautiful. I don't remember what river runs through kind of east-west of Montana, but you got that river, and you're kind of following it through some of the major cities. And then when you get to the western side, you kind of dip towards Yellowstone National Park. And just a beautiful, breathtaking, you know, state Montana is. So, big sky country up there, they call it. All right, don't touch the dial. There's a bunch of news. The Marine Gunnery Sergeant Special Operations type that was killed, the investigation is now looking at a possible case of fratricide, or as we would call it, a blue-on-blue event. So we'll talk about that. Coming up next on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio at the top of the hour, about 9:05 Pacific time. Grant Newsham's going to join us. We're going to talk about Hong Kong. What are the Chinese going to do? Right? What do you do? I think what I would do is I would send the 1st Chinese Division down there and let them camp at the airport and just try to intimidate everybody. Yeah, try to intimidate Yellowstone. What did I say? Jellystone? Did I say Yogi Bear's place? I don't know that it does us any good if we send the 1st Chinese Division in there and they beat the shit out of everybody on TV. I'm thinking that that doesn't work. So what we want to do is gently nudge, so we don't have to beat the shit out of the protesters in Hong Kong. But interestingly enough, they know that that's in the offing. Are they ready to do it? I don't know. So they look like they want a confrontation. Yeah, I'm not sure. See, if it was me, I'd be all right. All right, come here, Schwartz, Montana man. Hey, you get out in front with this sign and the bullhorn, and then you do this, okay? And he would say, yep. All right, Mac, I'll do that. All right. And I'd tell the rest of our friends, hey, man, stay away from Schwartz, because if they cut it loose, he's gonna get shot about 300 times. So, right, stay out of the frag pattern with that dude. Everybody else be like, all right, man. He's got the bullhorn? Yeah. When you hear the bullhorn go, get out of the way. Right? Just in case. Now, if they're in the mood to be peaceful, that's one thing. But you know how the Chinese roll. That probably won't happen. So, yeah. So, anyway. So, we'll talk to Grant about that. And whatever else we talk to him about. So, anyway. He's always an interesting guy. More of Allman Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, to the news we go. Stars and Stripes, Navy to trade new technology for old to help avoid ship collisions. The Navy is replacing touchscreen throttles and helms on destroyers with handheld ones, after determining that the state-of-the-art controls caused confusion that contributed to the USS John McCain's deadly collision in 2017. Steering and speed controls will revert to manual versions in the next 2 years on destroyers equipped with the integrated bridge and navigation system, according to USNI News. As part of a push by the Navy to overhaul bridges in every class to help avoid accidents like the McCain's and the Fitzgeralds, which together killed 17 sailors. Sailors stated in surveys after the collisions that they preferred the older handheld controls to steer and adjust the speed, USNI reported. One Navy leader appeared to agree with the newer technology wasn't always better. Electronic throttles and helms fall in the just because you can doesn't mean you should category Vice Admiral William Galinas, head of surface ship construction, said in the USNI article. The first destroyer scheduled to undergo the change will be the USS Ramage in the summer of 2020. Unfamiliar electronic controls were just one factor when the McCain collided with the tanker in the Singapore Strait. Now, again, you can blame the system, but again, the captain of the ship was told by the XO of the ship, or the XO requested that the sea and anchor detail be posted prior to commencing the entrance to the Straits of Hormuz. Now, who's on the sea and anchor detail? Well, it's the most experienced navigators, helmsmen, and all that shit. He said, nah, we don't need that. And so you had incompetent people there in one of the most trafficked parts of the world. And it's the same thing. You look at the... So to me, the Navy, in this is my opinion, this is my nautical opinion, the Navy is taking systems and laying blame when there's a leadership failure that's much huger. Is that a word, huger? It is now. Much huger than the technology. I'm sure that the electronic controls were just as good as the manual, right? And maybe there's a case to be made that they should be swapped out for the manual, right? Because the manual ones worked. They were easy. They were very visible. People could see that they were synced. And it wasn't just a screen in front of one person. It was throttles that everybody could see, plainly visible from just about any place, you know, on the watch deck there on the bridge. So, but there's a leadership piece in all of that. And that is, you go to general quarters, you set the sea and anchor detail. The competent people are there because this is an A-team event. The Moluccan Straits. And you literally, what the McCain did, right, is they're going through the Moluccan Straits, and because they screw up sinking the throttles, they go to reduce their speed, but they only reduce the speed on one screw, and that is the left screw. So the right screw is still spinning. They make a left-hand turn in front of the ship, and they get smoked. That's what happened. In the midst of it, because they don't see that the throttles aren't synced, right? They transfer it to the aft control station. They don't know what they're doing either. So maybe should we reconsider the whole set in the sea and anchor detail? Fuck, you think? And then the same thing about the Fitzgerald. So that's the McCain down in the Moluccan Straits. The Fitzgerald, first night out, under a new captain and a new XO, transiting through heavily trafficked sea lanes at 22 knots. And according to the watch standards, several of their radars were degraded. Okay, like, I'm a grunt, I don't know shit, but maybe we slow the son of a bitch down and double the external watch on the ship until then we'll stand them down and go normal once we get through this thing? How about that? Oh, shit. Yeah, what a great idea. And a professional naval officer can't think that shit? Come on, man. So to me, the Navy, and the same thing with the, oh, we're working too much. Fuck. They're working too much. What else do you do at sea? You can work 16 hours a day and still get 8 hours of sleep. What? What else? Okay, so let's take an hour to go PT. There's 15. All right. You're at work while you eat. So eating's included in work, okay? So there's PT. You gotta shower and shave. So that's about a half hour twice a day. All right, to do hygiene. So now you're at 14. So you can work up to 14 hours a day. So that's 08 in the morning till 12 is 2000 at night till 2200. Okay? And you can get 8 hours of sleep and you can shower and do hygiene twice a day, and you can work out. What else do you do? Oh, you go play video games and watch movies, so you only get 5 hours of sleep. Well, whose problem's that? That's a leadership problem, man. Guy's falling asleep on watch. Guy, oh, I'm too tired. Okay, well, let me see. What'd you do today? Well, I did this and this. And okay, well, it's then you had 10 hours of free time. I did, Master Chief. What did you do, genius? Oh, well, I watched some movies. I played some video games like I always do. Yeah. I mean, so to me, it's all a systems failure, right? And everybody's a victim in this stuff. Bullshit, man. That is such a cop-out. That is such a cop-out. Anyway, so, first story. A Marine Raider was killed in Iraq over the weekend. We talked about that. All right, 35 years old, married, father of two. Last year was named the Marine Raider's top raider. Gunnery Sergeant Scott Copenhofer. Or Copenhofer. I'm not sure how the pronunciation. The Defense Department initially announced Copenhofer was killed by enemy small arms fire. However, two defense officials said the investigation was examining the possibility that he had been accidentally struck by Iraqi or American fire. The Wall Street Journal first reported this yesterday. Those incidents, literally, it's like somebody hitting you in the stomach with a baseball bat when you're looking the other way. Somebody dead, and we did it. We did it. A story that's been in the news for years, right? Marines should retain officer who sent classified warning to colleagues before an attack. So I'm sure many of you are familiar. It's about Captain Jason Bresler. All right. He used his personal email account to send a classified warning to his colleagues about a corrupt Afghan police chief. He should be allowed to continue to serve, according to a board of military officers. He's now a major. He sent a warning in July of 2012, about 2 weeks before a teenage boy working for the chief that he named in the email open fire on unarmed Marines in a fatal attack on a military base in southern Afghanistan. Bresler, who's a Marine reservist and a member of the New York City Fire Department, reported his actions to his commanders after the attack, and they sent him to an administrative board of inquiry to determine whether he should be discharged. The new determination by a panel of three Marine colonels last week marks the second time that a board of inquiry has reviewed the case. A board of officers found in December 2013 that the Marine Corps should end Bresler's career, prompting him to sue the service and allege that he had been punished for communicating with a member of Congress, Representative Peter King, Republican from the state of New York, about the incident. District Judge Joseph Bianco ruled on Bresler's behalf in December of 2016, finding that the Navy Department had prevented Bresler from fully litigating his claims of retaliation. The Marine Corps brought him to another board of inquiry last week, but the results were different this time. The worksheet detailing the board's findings, obtained by the Washington Post, shows that the three colonels substantiated a failure on Bresler's part to properly discharge the duties expected of an officer of his grade and obey a regulation that requires classified information to remain on official premises. But the panel unanimously declined to substantiate other allegations, including a dereliction of duty, paving the way for Bresler to potentially continue serving. Quote, I'm grateful beyond words for the opportunity to once again serve the United States Marine Corps. I love the Marine Corps. I'm committed to its Marines and mission and can't wait to contribute again. However, the findings of a board can be rejected by the Navy Department, but they're typically accepted. Marine officials said on Monday that they were looking into the results. So, anyway, very high-profile case. He issued a warning. The warning was prophetic, and then he was booted out of the Marine Corps, or allegedly He was supposed to be kicked out of the Marine Corps after this board reviewed the case. And so, as you can imagine, it got a lot of national attention. So that continues in the news. From U.S. Naval Institute News, Marines declare initial operational capability for the JLTV. JLTV is the follow-on to the Humvee. The Marine Corps is set to use its first joint light tactical vehicles in the field after the service declared the program had achieved initial operational capability earlier this month. The IOC, initial operational capability, is more than just saying that the schoolhouses and the infantry battalion all have their trucks. Eugene Morin, manager at JLTV at the program executive offices for land systems, said in a news release, "All of the tools and parts required to support the system need to be in place. The units must have had sufficient training, and each unit commander needs to declare that they are combat ready." 3rd Battalion, 8th Marines was the first to be trained to operate the JLTV, with more coming to the rest of the force by the end of the fiscal year. 1 Marine Expeditionary Force at Camp Pendleton and 3 MEF in Okinawa. So, new version of the Humvee. A couple stories in Marine Corps Times. This is by Megan Myers. SOCOM boss calls for another ethics review. After a rough couple of months for special operations scandals in the news, the head of U.S. Special Operations Command is opening up a review into the entire command's culture and ethics, according to a memo released on Monday. The review will begin immediately and conclude sometime in the fall, according to Army General Richard Clark. Quote, "Recent incidents have called our ethics and culture into question and threatened the trust placed in us." Let's see. This is from Colin Green, the Navy's top SEAL. "Some of our subordinate formations have failed to maintain good order and discipline, and as a result, and for good reason, our naval special warfare culture is being questioned. I don't know yet if we have a cultural problem." This is the letter he wrote a couple weeks ago. "I do know that we have a good order and discipline problem that must be addressed immediately." General Clark is the 2nd Special Operations Command Chief to call his command's ethics and professionalism into question. Tony Thomas did it a year ago. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Again, we talked about that ad nauseum. The growth of that community, the lack of supervision, the amount of discretion, all with people that probably aren't mature enough to handle it, is the reason that this thing, and the wars and our reliance on special operations and their op tempo has created these problems. Another story, 12 Marines confined to Camp Pendleton Brig awaiting charges for allegedly smuggling. So there was close to, I want to say double that number, were detained. Charges against 12 Marines, all from the 1st Battalion of the 5th Marines, are still pending. 2 of the 12 Marines are being held in the Pendleton Brig. They were arrested by Border Patrol agents on July 3rd. The other 10 Marines are confined to the Camp Pendleton Brig, were arrested during a battalion formation on July 25th for allegations related to human smuggling and drug offenses. In total, 18 Marines and a Navy corpsman were arrested on July 25th. Some Marines have been detained and questioned and released and sent back to their commands. Investigations into the smuggling allegations are still underway, according to the 1st Marine Division. You know, again, and we talk about, you know, the modern Marine Corps. No, you know, few formations, send them a text message, blah, 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 blah. Right? And so, what do you have left? You have novices leading novices? That's not a good thing. Instead of a gunny standing out there wire brushing people, you have a corporal, maybe a sergeant, and that those two don't equate. So, and then into that void, what happens? The change isn't forever. And I can be a Marine from 7 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, and then I can go be something else. And now you have all those Marines in that facility. Blah, 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 blah. Not good. China leak repair might cost as much as $2 billion. The infrastructure damage that came out of that earthquake, that's pretty amazing. Then the question is, what do we do? Is China leak that essential to spend $2 billion on it? So it'll be interesting to see what the DOD decides, because the cost of weather related events to the DOD has been huge. You know, just the damage at Camp Lejeune from hurricanes. And again, that place stood up under hurricanes forever. What, Tyndall Air Force Base on the Gulf Coast? Place was leveled. It's a ton of money. And so all right. Real quick, we'll go to the early bird and check out the top five stories, and then Grant Newsom's going to join us. One, SOCOM boss calls for a new ethics review. Two, Liz Cheney and other Republican senators voice skepticism on U.S.-Taliban peace deal. Liz Cheney is the House's number three Republican. So, again, third story, 12 Marines confined to the Camp Pendleton Brig. We've talked about that. Number four, the Air Force grounded most of their C-130s last week, and most of those grounded have been okayed to fly again. There was cracks found in a series of C-130s, and so they just stand down, check the cracks, and which happens on a fairly regular basis when you see something like that. Number five, military probing whether friendly fire killed a Marine raider in Iraq over the weekend. Overseas operation deep in the mountains of Honduras. If you know what this military task force does. So interesting little story about what we do in Honduras. A U.S. team in Turkey is beginning to work on the Syrian safe zone. So pretty dicey little situation in the northern part of Syria where the Syrian Defense Forces that helped us eject ISIS out of the region and may be instrumental again in ejecting ISIS from the region. Turkey is at odds with all that, right? So the United States allows another ally to get their head kicked in, I mean, just fold it up and come home. All right, just fold it up and come home. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Grant Newsom is going to join us here on a Tuesday. We're going to talk about Hong Kong and catch up with Grant. The last time I had Grant on, I forgot to record it. So so he sent me an email and said, hey, a friend of mine who likes to listen said that they couldn't listen. I said, well, yeah, they can't because I didn't record it. He said, are you kidding me? That incredible piece of audio is not going to be around for posterity. I said, I'm sorry. It won't happen again.